This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Market Talks. Against a background of increasing volatility in global stock markets, we'll be looking at what the Fed might say in its upcoming FOMC meeting, homing in on the falls in stay-at-home stocks, and pontificating over the raft of today's flash PMIs. Asking the questions is me, Frances Watson, and in the investment hot seat, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research. Ben, how are you?
I'm extremely well today. Thank you very much, Frances. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm good. Thank you very much. And thank you for asking. I'm better, in fact, than markets, because we've started the week on a very soggy note. Perhaps you'll explain why.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned in your introduction about the Federal Reserve on Wednesday. And what's happened over the last few weeks has been that investors are anticipating a hawkish move. And we've seen yields go up across the board. And this is having knock-on impacts across lots of different asset classes. And it's hard to sort of fundamentally justify some of the moves because it hasn't been long enough. You know, it's only been a few weeks. It's not like companies are earning less. But I think it's investors anticipating the end of the really cheap, easy money and just thinking, what does that mean for perhaps some of the valuations that got a little bit ahead of themselves over the last year or two? That's what's happening.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we haven't had the greatest of starts to the earnings season. I mean, we've had some fairly rocky periods of price falls, especially I'm thinking Netflix. There was an announcement, I think, from Peloton last week. And these stay-at-home stocks, inevitably, I'm going to the gym. I expect you are too. We don't need to sit on the sofa and bike and watch Netflix at the same time anymore, do we?
Yeah, again, I would say some of this is versus very, you know, heightened expectations. So, you know, these stocks have done so well over the last couple of years and the price has reflected. So even just the modest amount of disappointment, and in reality, Netflix results were pretty good on most metrics. It was just one sort of maybe in the future, they're projecting slightly fewer subscribers. And that had, as you said, a big impact on the share price. We've also seen some of the big banks announce earnings early on, and they were, yeah, again, on most metrics, pretty okay, but their fixed income revenues in general have been a bit disappointing. So again, they've had a rocky a few days, but it's in the context of markets just correcting to some degree, and then investors focus on a little bit of disappointment, bad news, and it exaggerates. And that's basically what we've been, the atmosphere that we've been in over the last couple of weeks. And it's all to do with the Federal Reserve on Wednesday, as you said at the beginning.
And also that spills over into the bond market, of course, where we have seen yields rising.
Big move across the board in all interest rates, in all bond yields over the last couple of weeks, driven by real yields. So, you know, we've been talking about this over the last few months. We've seen inflation expectations generally go up over the last year or so. So that's break-even inflation expectations increasing. Over the last couple of weeks, those inflation expectations have stopped going up, but what's been going up instead has been the real yield, which is the underlying bit of the yield, not the inflation, the real yield. That's been going up. And that's the thing that is upsetting markets, because that is by its name the sort of real funding cost after you've taken into account price rises. Yeah, and that's been quite a big shift.
So in effect, liquidity conditions are tightening, Ben. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe just to bring it into a period where people will be familiar with, I think you all remember the taper tantrum of 2013. So during that period, when there was a similar reassessment of real yields, of tightening conditions, the 10-year real yield went up by over 100 basis points, about 120, 130 basis points, depending on which period you're looking at. So far in this mini tantrum, can we call it, it's been sort of 40, 50 basis points. So it's been about half a tantrum. I'm not sure exactly how you describe that, but that's been so far. But we haven't finished yet, perhaps. That's the thing to bear in mind. So we've had a little bit of a correction in equity markets as a result, and equity volatility has gone up. And as you see, we've seen some of an impact to some of those potentially overvalued stocks, but it hasn't been quite as bad as the taper tantrum so far.
But no such tantrums, actually, in the China property developer bonds market, because they've had a bit of a rebound.
Yeah, finally, last week I was holding my hands up and saying that, you know, it was my view that at the end of last year, Chinese policymakers had made a bit of a U-turn and decided to support their indebted industries and cutting interest rates. I think you remember last Monday they announced an interest rate cut. But I was wondering why, you know, property developer bonds just kept going lower and lower and lower. Well, almost as soon as I said that, they started to recover a little bit. And yeah, they have had a good few days. But if you look at the chart, it's mostly down, 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 and a little flick up over the last couple of days. So it's still a long way to go if we're going to see some recovery. But it just shows you, with bonds, they can only go down so much because you can only hit zero, I guess, on a bond. At some point, there will be people coming in to buy them, particularly if you think that central policymakers have got your back, which I think is still the case.
Okay, now talking about policymakers, of course, this week on Wednesday, we've got that US Federal Reserve meeting, as we said. I think our predictions are, along with consensus, I think I'm right, Ben, in saying that for a 0.25% increase in March, followed by three further interest rate rises. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that's our forecast. I mean, people have been chasing their tails a little bit over the last couple of weeks as markets have priced in more and more rate hikes. The economists, the Fed watchers have been catching up with markets and pricing in more and forecasting more and more rate hikes. And, you know, we think this meeting, they will lay the ground for a March hike, as you say, and then three further through the year. But I mean, this is definitely a moving feast. I've even seen predictions, or at least people speculating, that the Federal Reserve could even hike interest rates on Wednesday and stop quantitative easing straight away. Remember, they're still tapering quantitative easing. They're still actually buying bonds at the minute. That's only due to finish in March. So the really hawkish end is they stop that immediately and they hike interest rates. That would have, I think that would have a negative impact on markets, because that would make investors really worried about tightening. But yeah, the base case is a hike in March and then three more for the rest of the year.
Okay. And another thing that we've got, and we've got a raft of global PMIs out today, in fact. I mean, I guess the main thing is, Ben, how has Omicron affected growth? Worse or better than we were expecting?
Like always, it's a bit of a mixed picture. The Japanese ones weren't great. So the French PMIs, again, weren't particularly good, but the German ones were better. Maybe there's a little bit of supply chain alleviation in the German data as well, and big manufacturing center. So, but either way, it's nothing like the falls that we saw in the first wave or even the Delta variant. These are just modest decreases. We do think that the Omicron variant and the economic restrictions that were put in place around that, either mandated by governments or we just did them anyway, didn't we? Those they will have had an impact on growth to some degree over the last few weeks, but now, what we're seeing as well, particularly in the UK, is that those restrictions are coming off now, so that we should be able to rebound in short order. So I don't think policymakers will pay much attention to this slightly soft data.
Okay, fair. But what we are going to pay attention to, of course, is your number for the week. So what is it, Ben, and why have you chosen it?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about earnings. You mentioned earnings before, and I was sort of trying to think what are interesting numbers to do with the earnings season coming up. So I selected 25 because that's the current expectation for earnings growth. So 25% for the S&P 500 this fourth quarter versus the previous fourth quarter. Which I think that's still a huge number, and it is.
Yeah.
It is, and it's the main reason, really, why we still, as a multi-asset team, still quite like equities here. I mean, we are seeing the Federal Reserve pulling away some liquidity tightening policy, and we have seen a correction, which that always tends to happen when you see policy makers tighten. But these technology stocks are still going to be making a lot of money over the next few quarters, and fundamentally, that's what you're trying to do when you buy a stock. You're trying to get the future. A discounted dividend yield, aren't you? And that's going to be good. So that's just a highlight still, that there's still a lot of value there, I think.
Gosh, that's a cheerful note to end on. And also, can I whet listeners' appetite just before we go, Ben, with the fact that, of course, Chinese New Year kicks off next week, and we will be bringing everyone a Chinese New Year special on Market Talk. So listen out for that if you've got time. Well, we'll be doing a deep dive into all things China related in terms of markets, not so much customs, I don't think, but hey, we may throw that in as well for good measure. Anyway, in the meantime, Ben, thanks so much for joining Market Talks, and we'll speak again next week. Thanks. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com. Copyright 2021 Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For professional investors only.